Welcome to the WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development and Durham Technical Community College. Our monthly forum features Chapel Borough's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. The discussion is sponsored by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to business and for business. More at opentobusiness.biz and by Durham Technical Community College, Durham and Orange County campuses. Do great things. The WCHL Community Forum begins now.
Welcome into the July 2017 WCHL Community Forum, talking affordable housing. How do we help to keep our community affordable and diverse in all of the things that we espouse as values across the community, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, and throughout greater Orange County? I'm Blake Hodge here with WCHL 97.9 The Hill. We've got Greg Warren, the president of DHIC, Maggie West, co-director of Community Empowerment Fund, and Orange County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos, who has an extensive knowledge base in terms of construction as well. So we have got a good panel today to really dig into this, really one of the most important topics that we have facing our community, and something that everybody can agree on is an issue, but there are so many variances within this that really require a lot of different things. So let's go around the room. First off, Greg, you're here to my left, so we'll start with you and go around the table. Tell us a little bit about DHIC, what y'all do, and your involvement here in Orange County.
Well, thank you, Blake, and thanks for inviting me to participate in this community forum. DHIC is a Raleigh-based nonprofit organization, over 42 years old. We develop both affordable rental housing for seniors, for families, as well as supportive housing for single men and women, many of them coming out of shelters and the like. We have about 2,200 apartments that we've developed over the years in the Triangle area and a little bit beyond that. We also have a home ownership center that provides home ownership counseling to potential first-time home buyers and helps families identify best possible mortgage products to purchase homes. In Chapel Hill, we are delighted to be working with Orange County and Chapel Hill to build Greenfield Place and Greenfield Commons on Legion Road. We're under construction right now with Greenfield Place, 80 apartments for working families, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And shortly, we'll begin construction on Greenfield Commons, which is 72 apartments for very low-income seniors.
Well, Maggie, you're following up here as we go around the Community Empowerment Fund. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory there? I know a lot of people are familiar, but for those that may not be, y'all tackle issues that are with affordable housing, but are much broader than that as well.
Sure. So Community Empowerment Fund, or CEF, works specifically with people either experiencing homelessness or at risk of experiencing homelessness in Orange and Durham counties. And we provide relationship-based support to assist our members with gaining jobs, searching for housing, and building financial well-being. And what that really looks like is we pair student volunteers as advocates to work one-on-one with each of our members towards reaching their goals, really whatever their goals are. And most frequently, it involves just sitting down one-on-one and building a resume, applying to a bunch of jobs, applying to different housing complexes, negotiating with landlords, navigating a really wide array of social services. I think the other big part of our work is really around financial services, so supporting members to set savings goals, and most frequently our members are saving to move out of homelessness or to build an emergency fund once they have transitioned to their own apartment so they can maintain that housing.
And Mark, I know you've taken the spot on the Orange County Commissioners recently, and they've been focusing a lot. I mean, there was a $5 million bond that voters passed the same time that you were elected officially to provide $5 million of affordable housing dollars throughout Orange County, and the first kind of half of that doled out earlier this year. But you've also got some professional experience and different ideas about how to tackle this. So whenever you think about affordable housing from both a professional and commissioner standpoint, what kind of rises to the top of your mind?
Well, right now I am focused on what you mentioned is the bond money and our more intense look at what we can do for affordable housing, since we have the other half of the bond money, $2.5 million approximately, to award in the fall or early next year. Mm-hmm. So when we when we get back to work in the fall, we're going to be looking at the best place to put that money. And it's striking how little that money can really buy in the end, you know? You know, the bond was approved $5 million. A lot of us were advocating for $10 million, which still would have been modest in the big picture. As a builder, I have thought a lot about affordability. I mean, I don't really build big mansions. I do a lot of custom homes for middle-class folks like myself. And so I have, you know, spent a lot of time trying to provide affordable products. And so I hope to bring some of that to bear on the discussion. And I'm interested in tiny homes and smaller homes and want to make sure that gets discussed in the fall. You know, affordable housing, people use that phrase, but it means so many different things, yeah. From homeless transitional to, you know, low income rental to just working people's homes, right? And there's obviously a different solution for each of those groups, right?
And Greg, kind of getting right into it there, you said apartments for working families. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean?
Sure. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think the average rent in Chapel Hill area is around $1,400 per apartment. And what we're going to be delivering on the average at Greenfield Place is rents that I think will average around $600 to $700. Some of those apartments will be skewed even lower than that to serve those at 30% of the area median income or less. And those rents will go down to roughly $370 or so. And so, you know, we will be offering, you know, significantly deeply discounted rents than what is typically found in the marketplace.
How do you do that?
Well, there's a lot of magic associated with it, but but part of it is also establishing partnerships and utilizing all the kind of financing tools that are out there to help support affordable rental housing. And in this particular case, and much of the rental housing that we've been building in the Triangle area, does rely on something called the Federal Low-Income Housing Tax Credit, which is allows us to raise equity in the development to reduce our mortgage that we purchase. And that tax credit is allocated on a competitive basis by the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. So in the context of Greenfield Commons, for example, roughly 60% of the total development costs are being covered by the equity that we raise by selling that tax credit. I'd also note that, you know, the town of Chapel Hill is a partner in Greenfield. I'm using Greenfield Commons actually as an example right now. That's Chapel Hill is also a partner in that, $450,000. Greenfield Place, we just closed last week on the county and city and town of Chapel Hill loans for that to help make that happen. So we're oftentimes assembling lots of different financing sources from local governments, from state governments and the like to make these projects work.
Maggie, as you hear, and obviously you're plugged into a lot of these things as they're coming online, but knowing that that's going to be an option, ultimately, I think you said 80 units for the first one that's coming on board here. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. It's devoted specific to affordable housing, but how much, you know, thinking about just what your organization serves here, how is that going to impact things in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely of the mindset, I think, that every single unit counts. So I think 80 units is a really significant project for our community and is one of the larger projects, I think, that's been proposed or is definitely actually happening in recent years. So we're really excited. And actually, as soon as we saw the funding get approved, I think one of our members went ahead and called DHIC's office like the next day, like ready to apply. I was like, I don't think they're ready yet. But there's anticipation around it for sure. Definitely at the same time, we serve about 1,000 members, many of whom run Stably House. And so we don't serve all of the members who need our support. Like, I mean, we serve everybody who comes to us, but many people beyond that 1,000 are in need of this type of housing at rates that are actually affordable, especially for, as Greg was mentioning, people earning below 30% of area median income is just a type of housing that's not provided whatsoever by the market. So at those rates of $370 a month, for someone who's on fixed income, whether they're retired or disabled, or for someone who's working an $8 hour job, which is many of the jobs in our community, that's really what's affordable to them to be able to maintain independence and housing stability. So it's we're very excited about it, and part of why we're a part of the Orange County Affordable Housing Coalition, and a part of why our members and advocates are constantly advocating for more resources for affordable housing and more affordable housing in our community is we see literally every day that it's not enough.
When you see, like, we have the estimated $1,400 a month average rent, and all of these developments that are being approved and coming online, there's a negotiated factor in there with whatever local government body they're dealing with of how many units are going to be affordable in this overall development. Sometimes it seems as though there's, you know, that seems to be the sticking point in a lot of these negotiations. So from that type of perspective, while it's great to have these devoted places for affordable housing, how important is it to integrate it into everything else that we're doing, you know, as we're building units all over the place?
To me, it's essential, and it's also smart policy. I think it's been incredibly discouraging to me and to ZEF members to see so much new rental development happening in Chapel Hill, and to see how little of it is affordable, and also to see the impact that it's having on the market. I think there's the myth that as you build new luxury rental development that is in that $1,400 a month price range, $800 a bedroom type rentals, that then the units that have been around longer are going to become more affordable to people. And I think we've seen the opposite happen. So we saw an apartment complex literally make no upgrades. And in a 12-month period, as a big complex went up close to them that was charging $800 a bedroom, that complex went from charging $525 a month for a one-bedroom to $895 a month for a one-bedroom with no improvements. And I think that's the impact this type of rental development is having on the Chapel Hill Carrboro market, is incredible and fast rental inflation.
Mark, as you're hearing these types of things, what, from a commissioner perspective, is going through your mind? Because there's only so much y'all can control whenever things are going on in some of these other jurisdictions throughout the town, of course. But I know everybody's, and I want to get into this next segment as well, but everybody from a government body standpoint seems to be harping on this every time we're going through any type of election cycle. So from a commissioner standpoint, what are you thinking of?
Yeah, I mean, affordable housing is the election issue that keeps on giving, you know. Every year, every election, everyone is for affordable housing, and it's an issue that resonates with people. And, you know, you mentioned the lack of control. I mean, to me, that is the overriding thought that I have, is in our economy, our greater economy is not geared toward equality and helping people get a good deal in life. You know, our entire economy is an exploitative economy, and we're working within that. And I so respect these folks like Greg and Maggie and others in the community that are, you know, pushing the rock uphill and making a little progress here and there and helping folks. You know, one of the things that I think about, it may or may not sound profound, but the reason why we need affordable housing is because people can't afford it.
Right.
So a living wage and economic progress is also a contributor, and that's something that the county has as one of its main jobs, is to provide more economic development. So many different factors. I wonder, you know, talking about the costs, Maggie, you were talking about this notion that if we just build more, then the costs will go down, and that's not happening. I wonder, in some communities, in some cities around the country, they have reduced regulations and fees, and that has resulted in lower costs in housing around the municipalities. And so I'd be interested. I don't know the answer to this, right? But I would like for us to explore that, I know that, you know, Chapel Hill, for instance, has astronomical inspection fees compared to other jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. The impact fees were taken away by the legislature. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, which is going to hurt us. But on the other hand, we might be able to find out if that has any impact on housing costs or not. We'll be able to answer that question with this new situation.
New situation. Yeah, impact fees, just a little background there. Impact fees were charged to developers as part of the overall process of building in Orange County. They were levied by the commissioners. That money was then used to fund school construction, school expansion in Orange County. That was taken away through an act just fairly straightforwardly titled Repeal Orange County Authority to Levy Impact Fees. So
yeah, why us?
It was pretty Orange and Chatham were the two counties across the state that were allowed to do this. Chatham County is still allowed to do it. Greg Meyer, the local House representative, was on with us a couple of weeks ago talking about the question being brought up, why is only Orange County doing this, or why aren't other counties? And he said, that's a good question. Everybody, I would like to explore that of why we don't expand it rather than contract it. But as we stand right now, they have been repealed in Orange County. But we have got a lot more to talk about. I do want to talk about the different initiatives that have been taken by local governments and how we're seeing that impact in the community. Whenever we come back on the WCHL Community Forum here for the month of July, talking affordable housing and how do we keep our community affordable and diverse and all those things that we express as values throughout our community here in Orange County. Whenever we come back on 97.9 The Hill.
$500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. Students enrolled in at least 6 hours of curriculum programs at Durham Tech can access up to $2,000 over 2 years, then transfer to a four-year institution without college debt. Public school students are eligible, so go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box. Get ready to do great things.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation. To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, talking affordable housing this month. Greg Warren from DHIC, Maggie West from Community Empowerment Fund, Mark Markopoulos from the Orange County Commissioners, also working in construction and building. We have so many other people working on this topic throughout our community, though, thinking of Dolores Bailey from Empowerment, who we invited. Unfortunately, she is out of town this week, but also other kind of larger organizations with CASA, which is, I believe, also based in Raleigh, right, and Habitat for Humanity, which, of course, is has a much broader reach than any of that, but a significant presence here throughout our community. But I want to drill into a little bit of what all of the different local government bodies are doing. And Mark, we can start with you here from the commissioners on this. What do you think people should know in terms of what the county is doing beyond doling out the bond dollars that have been out? First off, let's talk about those. What were y'all looking for in terms of handing out this first round, and, you know, what are you looking for next time? But also beyond that, how is the Board of Commissioners taking initiative on this to try to tackle this? Because there are so many levels of this, which everybody has talked about so far, of different peg points and benchmarks along the way of what people need.
Well, first, let me update people on the process with the bond. Last fall, the commissioners came up with a sort of a score sheet for projects to award points based on things like location to mass transportation, income range, percent of Orange County residents served, and various other criteria. And then the awards were made for a little over half of the $5 million based on that scoring. And there was some discussion when these awards were made about improving the scoring. There were some anomalies that came out. So that's going to happen this fall. We're going to review how we evaluated the projects, and we're going to start talking about proposals that we get for the rest of that money. Mm-hmm. Orange County has a little bit more money, like I think it's been it's like close to $1 million, if not $1 million, appropriated this year again in addition to the bond money.
Okay.
So people should pay attention this fall. There's going to be a lot of decisions made about which, how we evaluate the projects and who gets to build them. And the other thing I want to mention is the county owns a lot of land, and it has offered this information on where the land is to developers to make proposals for building on that land. And we'll get to a discussion of the fundamental part that land cost plays in this whole conundrum. But that's an interesting new development.
And whenever you're talking about accepting proposals on that, that makes it a lot easier to set specifics in terms of what you would allow, right, on a property if the county already owns it. Is that fair?
Well, we're going to have to take it on a parcel-by-parcel basis because mm-hmm. they're in different neighborhoods. There's a lot in Chapel Hill, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. During the recession, the county actually bought up a few parcels of land to use later, which turns out to be a pretty good move. And there's some land around Hillsboro, which, just one quick aside, the whole county votes on these bonds, and the rural areas, to my knowledge, have not ever gotten an affordable housing project, like a rural-style affordable housing project. And I'd like to bring that up this fall and see if we can't create some kind of rural co-housing type affordable housing community for people who want to live that way.
Okay. Maggie, I want to turn the conversation to you as well, because we're talking about dollars designated specifically for these types of projects. And beyond the bonds, we're talking about in the county budget, Chapel Hill had a discussion about significantly increasing their affordable housing allocation. And I don't believe it ended up reaching what was initially put out there. But what do you see as the investment from local governments? What's their responsibility on this?
Yeah, certainly. So the town of Chapel Hill, several years ago, made a commitment to a penny for housing in their annual budget. And it wasn't an increase on the tax rate. It was just designating approximately a penny on the total tax rate towards affordable housing, given how much of a community priority it is. And this current tax year, they increased that allocation to $1.1 million from what was previously about $670,000. But the penny for housing has been incredibly impactful since it was created, because it was the local funding in addition to the land donation that has made the DHIC mm-hmm. project possible. And if that funding hadn't been pre-approved basically through that designated affordable housing fund, then the resources would not have been there as readily to jump on such a great opportunity. So I think affordable housing and just community affordability has to be a part of a town government's strategic thinking. And I think Town of Chapel Hill has made some of those initial resource commitments. Definitely, we were advocating and still are advocating for continuing to increase that amount on an annual basis, knowing the demand we're up against. So just like a tiny little stat is for specifically people earning less than $20,000 a year in Chapel Hill and Orange County, well, Orange County as a whole, there's almost a 5,000-unit gap in housing that is not available for people who currently live here, and which often means they're paying more like 50% or even 70% of their income to live here, or they're doubled up or unstably housed or in unsafe housing. So those 5,000 families, if we imagine trying to house those families in our community actually and affordably, then we're going to need more than the current local governments are committing. But we are moving in a direction towards that. And then Carrboro also has a designated affordable housing fund now that they've been contributing to primarily through developer pay in lieu contributions instead of an annual allocation in the budget. A really big and important conversation for our community is definitely, and Mark brought it up, is around affordability in Hillsborough. And there's a ton of development happening in Hillsborough around rental and home ownership and commercial development. And there's a real cap on that just based on, I don't know all the details, so I won't go too into it, but based on just the water supply for Hillsborough. So that feels like a real supply side challenge.
Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens has been on with us a bunch talking about all this development. We've seen Waterstone and several other that have been approved, and you know the hospital branch up there now as well, saying that they're at 6,000, 6,500 now. He thinks they'll max out and be tapped out at about 12,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are going to quickly approach that with the rate of growth we're seeing kind of across all of the area. But, Greg, I want to bring you into this as well, because we're talking so much about projects that are going on in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, Orange County, because that's where we're focused. But while you have certainly projects going on here, you have a broader reach in terms of DHIC overall. How does Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Orange County compare with some other places across the triangle?
Sure. Well, I think Raleigh I'm very familiar with, obviously, and City of Raleigh, following Chapel Hill's lead and Durham's lead, I guess, also, last year, not this current budget year, but prior year, increased taxes 2 cents. 1 penny of that was devoted to the Dix Park acquisition, and the other penny was devoted to affordable housing. In the past, the City of Raleigh has brought forth general obligation bond issues before the voters, I think 4 different times, and those have all been approved. But I really like the idea of the property tax designation, because as your tax base grows, so does the revenue being produced by that. And so I think that that's a very good model. The City of Raleigh has also inventoried its land holdings, in particular downtown Raleigh, because I think there's a strong interest in seeing more diversity of housing types in downtown. A lot of the workforce in restaurants and entertainment venues in the arts community can't find it difficult to live close to downtown, and with increasing gentrification, there is a clear focus on that. Durham, we're working in Durham right now on a piece of city-owned land right adjacent to the bus transfer facility in downtown with self-help to develop a mixed-income, mixed-use property that the Durham City Council asked us to participate in. So we're expecting that that land will be made available at no cost to us, and it's not an insignificant commitment on the part of the city. Roughly 2 acres of land in downtown Durham probably has a valuation of $2.5 to $3 million. So I think that a lot of our communities are sort of pursuing similar strategies as to what we're seeing in Orange County here, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I'm not sure that Wake County, I would also note, it has a I'm participating in a steering committee for affordable housing, and this group's been meeting over the last 6 months, and I think that they're also going to be coming up with recommendations this fall as to how the county can increase its impact in affordable housing. So I think that the Triangle region as a whole, affordable housing, I believe, from what I hear, is like the number one priority at the Raleigh City Council. We see that in Durham, too. It's just not in Orange County here that we have this issue. And in fact, we really have a regional housing market. People don't stop at the Durham County line or the Orange County line when they're looking for affordable housing. Our jobs are dispersed throughout the region, and so we really need to approach this to a certain extent on a regional basis, too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we hear Mark Dorison always from the county commissioners, someone that says this, that when you a budget is a real way to put all of your values directly out there in front of everybody. How much are you investing in this area versus another area? And you know, so you've got so much to balance there in an overall budget with education and everything else, obviously going to take up a large chunk of the dollars. But to specifically set aside those dollars seems, Maggie, like that's one of the most direct ways to have an actual impact kind of immediately. So from your work there, how does that strike you to see everybody getting involved in that in actual dollars?
I think it's really significant. I think something is something I think I hear a lot from other members of the Affordable Housing Coalition that are housing providers, since we aren't. So like Community Home Trust and Habitat mm-hmm. and CASA and Empowerment is how critical it is, especially in the context of really cliff-like declines in federal funding for affordable housing, that if our local communities want to continue to see affordable housing as a possibility, then even if we can't necessarily match what used to be federal levels of funding through local dollars, we're filling a gap by investing on the local level. So I think it's in a really crucial part of the strategy.
Greg, I know you wanted to talk about land.
Sure. I wanted to talk about land, but I also wanted to talk about acquisition of existing properties may be existing rental properties. I think that that's another area that we need to have opportunistic funding available that's quick, and it's probably going to have to be funneled through the nonprofits, I think. Maybe we need to have a regional acquisition fund established here that not only acquires perhaps land, but perhaps is available to acquire what I would call naturally occurring affordable housing, some of the older stock, the apartment stock that may be out there that needs some renovation work, but if we can preserve some of that property, I think that would be a good goal.
Well, there's a lot that goes into what makes an apartment affordable. Some of that is the jobs that we have around as well and available, and want to talk a little bit about how that factors into this whenever we come back here on the WCHL Community Forum here on 97.9 The Hill, talking affordable housing throughout our community.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation. To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
$500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. Students enrolled in at least 6 hours of curriculum programs at Durham Tech can access up to $2,000 over 2 years, then transfer to a four-year institution without college debt. Public school students are eligible, so go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box. Get ready to do great things.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
Welcome back into the WCHL Community Forum as we are talking affordable housing. Orange County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos, Maggie West from Community Empowerment Fund, and Greg Warren from DHIC talking about this issue today that's impacting all of our community. And you know, as a region, you know, Greg, you were just talking about so many regional things. We're bringing in a lot of very high-paying jobs throughout the area and all these things that seem to really be markers of driving a successful community. We've got the great universities that are producing wonderful students and all of these things that we're trying to harness and keep in our community. There's a lot of other types of jobs that are needed throughout our community and that are provided at different levels. And that's, I think, Maggie, one of the areas where we wanted to really bring you into this conversation of serving more than just here's housing and it's at well below market rate, if something that DHIC may be able to provide. But how important is it that we involve all of the pieces of this in this conversation rather than just here's something that's a cheaper house, here's a job that pays this type of money for this type of worker that may have moved to this community just because they wanted to be in the school system or whatever the case may be?
Definitely. I could start by, I think, just talking a little bit about what we see as the real impact of housing on a person and on their community. So I think what we see is that when someone finds stable housing and when they move into that stable housing, their family is more stable. So their kids are able to be more successful in school. They're able to go to school more consistently. They're able to have a peaceful place to do their homework. The other thing that we see is that individuals' health also stabilizes alongside their housing stability. So they're able to, well, their stress level has gone down significantly, which has so many health outcomes. And so they're able to actually keep their appointments. They're able to regulate different behaviors or diets or whatever it is they need to do, actually take their prescriptions on time because they have somewhere to keep them. So I think housing has this incredibly wide impact on a person. And then I think definitely the things that make housing possible are not just the supply of sort of supportive affordable housing, but when we see people get jobs that actually pay a living wage, as Mark mentioned earlier. And I think the other big impact of housing on that side is that the employer then has someone who's probably going to be here longer term. Yeah. So the turnover rates in terms of the actual business impact, like people are now stabilized here, they're able to make it to work consistently. They're also rooted in this community in a different way. So I think it pays off in so many ways for our community and so many different levels of outcomes. And
Mark.
I just thought of another factor in this. When a lot of municipalities around the country have learned that when it comes to homelessness, it's cheaper just to buy a home for them than it is to pay all the costs of policing, social services, and all the stresses on a government because of homelessness. Right? I think that applies in varying degrees through all of the income levels of people who need affordable housing.
I think that's interesting because we talk about that a lot of times, of how much something like the work of the IFC has done with the transitional shelter that they have on MLK, and obviously all the debate that surrounded locating and what they were going to do with that, but seeing them go through that from homelessness to through the different stages that they have at the shelter to then coming out on the other side with a job and some stability there. But whenever we're talking about projects as a whole, Greg, I wanted to bring you into this. We were talking about it a little bit during the break of the, I asked you earlier, how are you able to do that? And you talked about the magic, as you said, involved in being able to finance all these things. But there's a lot of for-profit developers that are not doing anything technically wrong. I mean, there's companies like this all over that are just working on getting that new housing. The market still is going to demand housing. That's not something that doesn't exist. So why focus on affordable housing, or why should other developers that may have a different interest than you incorporate affordable housing into their models and mindset?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, and it depends a little bit where you are geographically. But I don't think there's been a lot of examples of for-profit developers who do not that are doing market-rate housing that naturally want to have a lower-income population segment within their community. I just don't think if we look at real estate development, it's very much the mega mansions are all in one subdivision, and the smaller homes are generally in. There's not a lot of mixing going on in a lot of conventional real estate development. So I don't think it's a natural tendency. Obviously, Chapel Hill has done a great job through the permitting process, and some will complain a lot about that, obviously, too. By requesting in a very forceful manner or effective manner, maybe not so effective, but in a forceful manner, concessions. So I know, for example, Caraway Village, which is getting ready to be built now, I think there is an affordable housing component included in that.
A sect of that if they don't meet benchmarks by a certain point, they sell the land back for a dollar.
Right. So I think that those. Those are, if you go to Arlington, Virginia, if you go to Boston, if you go to San Francisco, you'll see a much more That's the way you've got to do business now in those communities, is to have some affordable housing in a lot of those communities that are being built. But we're not quite there here in this community. I do think that I wanted to bring up just that I do think that there's a clear business case, however, for the business community to support affordable housing in this marketplace. It's just not because we want everybody to live in a nice shelter, but in a nice home that's stable, but also that UNC healthcare system, for example, can really benefit by having some of their core critical workers close by rather than living in, say, Siler City or Mebane or elsewhere, particularly in times when we have emergency weather conditions or something like that. So I think that we can also look at our transportation system, and if we can have folks closer to their workplaces, then we'll put fewer cars on the roads and save money that way. So I think that all of those aspects of argument really help, I think, the community to understand the importance of having a mixture of housing opportunities in their area.
Well, Mark, I wanted to ask you, one of the major things that was talked about during the light rail discussion beyond price tag and logistics and how often was economic development around stations and then affordable housing, because these are a lot of places where the county may already own a lot of the land or between Orange and Durham County. So how does something, whenever you're talking about that type of project, how much does affordable housing factor into ultimately that decision that you made to vote for the project?
Well, it's certainly possible. I'll say that. You know, there's a lot more land near the stations than the opponents of light rail would have us believe, 500 acres in Orange County. Hmm. We talked about magic before, but we're not going to magically make affordable housing appear just because there's light rail there. There's going to be a lot of economic pressure to put in expensive dwelling units because people love to live around these walkable communities around the stations, right? So it's just going to be the same old dogged work that's going to have to be done. There's not going to be any like magic bullets or anything. It's going to be the same old negotiations and commitment to put affordable housing there, but we absolutely need to give it our best shot because it does provide transportation costs are a major part of someone's budget, right? And if we can eliminate a lot of transportation costs, they can maybe afford a slightly more expensive apartment, right? As long as they can just walk down to the train and get to the hospital.
So it's got to be reliable and all those things to be able
to pull that off. Yeah, so the opportunity is there. And if the track record in this community is any indication, I know we're going to try really hard to do it. And we just have to remember that it's not always our fault when it fails because we're really battling some serious economic forces.
We have got to, unfortunately, wrap this up here as we are heading toward the top of the hour. We've had a great discussion so far, but certainly some other areas and looking to the future that we want to tackle whenever we come back to wrap up the WCHL Community Forum on Affordable Housing here on 97.9 The Hill.
$500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. Students enrolled in at least 6 hours of curriculum programs at Durham Tech can access up to $2,000 over 2 years, then transfer to a four-year institution without college debt. Public school students are eligible, so go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box. Get ready to do great things.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum on 97.9 The Hill. Blake Hodge alongside Orange County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos. Markopoulos, I put a T on the end of your name.
That's a lot of letters in it.
Welcome back into the final segment of the WCHL Community Forum, talking affordable housing in our community. Blake Hodge for WCHL alongside Orange County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos, Maggie West from Community Empowerment Fund, and Greg Warren from DHIC, a local nonprofit focusing on affordable housing development. So as we are wrapping things up here, Greg, let's start with you. As you're looking at affordable housing, you live in this world every day. You realize the challenges that are there specifically with providing those housing units. What's at the top of your agenda kind of day-to-day this in the long run of what we can do to make a big impact?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that we're going to see the decline of federal funding to support affordable housing given, you know, the current priorities of the administration to discretionary domestic programs are going to be cut. I mean, there's no question if we're given the budget constraints that we currently have in place. So however, there is good news in that we are seeing local governments investing more in affordable housing, and we're seeing local governments recognize the importance of affordable housing. So that's all good in Chapel Hill, Orange County, and beyond in the region as a whole. I think what we have to do is continue to try lots of different things. There's no single magic bullet. You know, tiny homes are an example. Housing first models are an example. First-time home buyer assistance is critical. Rental housing for working families, for seniors. We've got to kind of not focus on any single activity, but also take a longer-term view and think about land, because that's really going to be critical. Finding ways to land bank and preserve opportunities in the future, and continue to work with the real estate development community to find ways to reduce regulatory burdens, but also find ways to incentivize those developers to include affordable housing in the mix.
Maggie, we'll turn to you here. And again, I know the Community Empowerment Fund, y'all do a lot beyond affordable housing, but it does certainly seem to be one of the pillars that y'all work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it'd be so with the Orange County Affordable Housing Coalition, of which CEF is a member, we in either September or October are hoping to host a countywide affordable housing summit to really bring together, especially elected officials and town staff that deal with housing and the different nonprofit partners and providers that see housing needs or that develop housing to really share back some of the successes that have come about because of the increased investment in affordable housing over the last few years, and to share some vision that's collaborative and collective in nature. And really think about how we can do big stuff together. So really think about how much we need, just like Greg said, all these different strategies working in tandem in order to really make an impact in such a like deep and complex issue. So I look out for those details. I think just an invitation to listeners, I think, would be to we are always welcome to host visitors at CEF if people are interested in learning more about the need for affordable housing or about the different ways affordable housing is currently being addressed. So people are welcome to reach out.
Mark?
There's a couple of ideas that have come up in the last year or so that I want to put on the table this fall and help push discussion on. One of them was there was a guy from the Charlottesville Habitat came down here last year and had two information sessions about his successful project with the Sunrise Trailer Park outside Charlottesville to not displace any of those trailer park residents. It was a rundown trailer park. End result was all the people who wanted to stay ended up having the opportunity to live in an affordable home on that land. They consolidated their dwellings and then had other housing that was generating income helping to pay for the project. And we have all these trailer parks out north of Chapel Hill, Martin Luther King Boulevard, just, you know, dotted all around there, right on the bus line which is really interesting. And I mean, he had the plan, right? I'm surprised there's been so little discussion of it since then, but I want to put a little focus on that. And also had the opportunity, some friends of mine, some activists in the local NAACP, were friends with Bob Drakeford, who was the mayor of Carrboro in the late 70s and early 80s, a really innovative, unappreciated mayor who started the bike trails and Hank Anderson Park and all these different things. Anyway, we went down to his RV park / tiny home park in Scotland County, the poorest county of all 100 in the state, and he's making like $300,000 a year off this project where he's got low-income tiny home dwellers, and he's also – part of it is making money off the U.S. Open, like the overflow RV crowd. It's a little farther away from Pinehurst, but they come down and he charges them a little bit. At any rate, I want to see the county consider an experiment like that. We have tiny home transitional next to an RV park that the county would run and generate funds from the RV portion of the park. There's, you know, people could just pull off I-40. Ideally, it'd be up near I-40. People coming for all kinds of events around here. So I want to see some discussion of some possible innovative ideas along those lines.
Well, I think it certainly will take something innovative if we're going to really ultimately solve this issue. I mean, it is a regional issue, as we've talked about today, but something with the rate of growth that we're seeing around our community doesn't seem like it's going to be going away. And with the school systems as strong as they are around here, certainly seems as though that's going to be driving a lot of this, and I think that's one of the reasons it's so important to involve different aspects in this discussion. So thank all of you for coming in today and joining us here on WCHL for the Affordable Housing Community Forum on 97.9 The Hill. If you missed any part of this discussion, you can head over to chapelboro.com where you can see this discussion and listen through all of the other discussions that we've had different forums over the past few months here on WCHL 97.9 The Hill. For Greg Warren from DHIC, Maggie West from Community Empowerment Fund, Mark Markopoulos, Orange County Commissioner, 97.9 The Hill.
This month's WCHL Community Forum was presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Its mission is to support opportunities to put Chapel Hill's people to work and create economic prosperity for all, now and in the future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. $500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. So go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box and get ready to do great things.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation. To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit opentoo.biz.
$500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. Students enrolled in at least 6 hours of curriculum programs at Durham Tech can access up to $2,000 over 2 years, then transfer to a four-year institution without college debt. Public school students are eligible, so go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box. Get ready to do great things.